She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running.
Loaded hour here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've got Jeff Levering coming up. Chewy's got his power rankings. And apparently, the Micah Parsons thing has really elevated everybody's... Oh, I'm just looking at Bill Belichick's face after just getting smoked, honestly, yesterday. Now, it doesn't look all that different from his usual face, if we're being
honest. That's what I was going to say. Did you see, and I'm assuming this is Jordan's doing, did you see the balloons and everything that were outlining the backdrop?
Horrible.
Stupid. Oh, my God. It was like, this is going to be a huge celebration, and obviously not.
It's
and the
not,
balloons felt very out of place.
It's not a like bridal shower or a six-year-old birthday party. What are we doing
gender
here,
reveal.
Man? Yeah. It was like...
The people sick of his shtick, though, because I watched his little pregame interview with Holly Rowe. He's so stupid.
Mm.
Like, you're seven. Well, obviously. It's like the whole.
What was he
like,
doing? I didn't see it. Grumble,
one word answer to questions.
Yeah.
Like, this is entertainment, you know? And I think that's why people don't want him back.
And you're saying that's played out.
It's just.
Who had a worse weekend, him or Kalen DeBoer?
Oh, him.
It's Alabama.
Belichick had a worse
Gabe.
Weekend.
I will tell you this, though, Gabe. I think, and I said this to the guys this weekend when we were having talks about this before the game. Obviously, if you didn't catch it, they got smoked last night, 48-14, TCU over North Carolina and Bill Belichick. I said, I think he can hide behind the changes in college football. And you know, nobody questions if he can coach ball, right? One of the greatest to ever do it. But I think he can hide behind... College football has changed so much. These athletes are entitled, the NIL, the transfer portal. I think he can use it as a built-in excuse if he struggles in Chapel Hill, fair or unfair.
I don't think it'll last long. I think he'll quit.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think it's unfair because I don't know if that team looked like they were well-coached. That was the issue yesterday. I don't know if his shtick of doing the grumble of when you go to a game as a member of the media, you sit in the press box, usually at college football games, they give you the two deep. They gave a blank sheet yesterday for North Carolina's two deep. It was just no names on it. Like Belichick just didn't even fill it out because he's Bill Belichick and he thinks he's above it all. So
two
he's
deep
got
is
that.
The depth chart, by the way, just people who aren't in the inside like us.
Correct.
He'll just, you know what? It was
Kalen DeBoer's at least got a $70 million buyout to be a parachute if things don't work out in Tuscaloosa.
But it was kind of like me after I was done playing, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start betting because I know everything about the NFL. This should be easy. I had to write a check for $5,000. Like, you lose. Mm. That's like Belichick. Like, wait a minute. I'm a great coach. This should be a lot easier. And it's not. I could seriously him going 1 or 2 years and be like, this ain't for me.
There is an article on ESPN.com now that sort of has some criticisms of the Belichick program headed into the season, guys. And you can scroll through it. You can read it if you want to. But basically it was saying like chaotic recruiting and harsh decisions, a look into Bill Belichick's first 9 months at UNC. And basically what they're saying is there were cracks. There were things that we could have seen that would have kind of tipped us off that this game specifically was not going to go North Carolina's way. When I watched that Alabama game, guys, the biggest criticism I have is they looked undisciplined, which is never something that you said about Alabama when Nick Saban was there, right? DeBoer's got a tough road to hoe, falling, you know, coming behind one of the greatest to ever do it. It's going to take some time, but I thought they kind of had fixed that this offseason.
Yeah, because they brought Ryan Grubb back, correct, who went to Seattle, who was his OC at Washington. And I actually thought, they don't look.
Can you imagine a quarterback calling his shot the way that Castellanos did for Florida State? Because he said a couple of months ago, like, he wasn't worried about Alabama. Hey, Nick Saban's not coming back to save him. And then he goes and dominates the game the way he did. And called his shot against Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, and Belichick's going to find that out. Because you know what? In college football, you don't go to the GM. Hey, I need a better running back. Or I better need... You got to go out there and recruit, and North Carolina is, for five-star recruits, probably not the first choice, unless they pay them. That's why I think he's like, this ain't my gig. You know, back in the day, I'd be like, all right, let's go sign this receiver or this. It's tough. And I think the board's finding that now that, like, okay, I'm not Nick Saban. It's a little harder for me to get these five-star recruits now. So he's, I don't know, if he struggles this year, is he out?
All right, so let's guess this right now, guys. Who's going to have the better record at the end of the season? Admitting that North Carolina plays an ACC schedule and Alabama plays an SEC schedule, between those two teams, who do you think has a better record?
Based upon...
Bama.
I don't know. Every week is a grind, though, Gabe.
Yeah, but Bama's, like, North Carolina's not going to go to a bowl game.
It's the ACC, though.
Yeah, but they're one of the bad teams in the ACC. They're one of the teams that everybody beats up on.
They play Clemson, Cal, Syracuse, and Duke. It's up on the screen in front of me right now on ESPN.
As opposed to Alabama?
Yeah, I don't have their schedule in front of me.
Probably Texas, Georgia.
Like, Alabama at least has talent. Like, they've got talent on that roster. I don't think North Carolina even has talent.
Yeah, but if that defense doesn't start putting pressure and stop jogging around, they're going to have major problems this year as well.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe we'll put it on the Jake Gabe and Chewy Twitter poll, the Infinity Exteriors. Which team is going to have the better record between North Carolina and Alabama? Hey, if you were wondering how you can watch those games, you can do it on the all-new ESPN app. It has changed the game for sports fans. All the best live sports, the most championship moments, studio shows, documentaries, originals, really too many to name them all. Plus, you got great new features on the app, like watching four games at once in multi-view, your fantasy team updates coming in live in-game, and of course, SportsCenter customized just for you. They thought of everything to make this the ultimate destination for sports fans. You gotta check it out. Sign up for the all new ESPN app right now.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of a right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay,
who's Raj?
You tell us, buddy. On 94.5 ESPN.
Turned in a hell of an August performance, turning the calendar over to September. Couldn't get the victory yesterday against the Phillies, but it was still a pretty good game for your Brew Crew. And joining us now to talk about everything about the Brewers is Jeff Levering. Hey, Jeff, how are you? Good to see you, man. Oh,
the off day. It's been a while since the Brewers have had an off day.
I know, honestly. And I heard that a bunch of the Phillies are going up to Whistling Straits to golf. So I said, if we can just tell the cart girls to skip their foursomes, that'd be cool. Right? Little hometown strategy.
That'd be really good. Or overserve them and make sure they don't get back in time for tomorrow's game.
Well, you know, that's another angle. We could go that direction on the spectrum. Before we get to the ball, we were talking about how Gabe and I were at the game yesterday sitting in section 229, and there were some folks who just have forgotten about baseball etiquette. It is still the rule, and whether it's written or unwritten, I don't know, that you're not supposed to be going up and down the aisle during at-bats, right? You must see this all the time when you're at the ballpark.
All the time. Yeah, that's a big no-no. And making people stand up in the middle of an at-bat. I mean, once the at-bat is over, I really enjoy going to an arena or a stadium where they have the usher that holds the paddle that says wait, right? That's a really good thing. And most ushers do that, I think, for the most part in an American Family Field. But there are some that just forget about, okay, I just need to get to my seat and sit down. And hey, listen. The ball game's going on. Let's just chill until the end of the at bat. I'm with you there, Jen.
Jeff, what do you think of the check swing Murph got tossed on? Good call, bad call?
Just straight
full
to the
send
point.
On Murph's reaction. I mean, I called it. You could hear it in my call. Like I couldn't believe it. Plus, it came on the heels of Harper's one. I couldn't knock the check swing on Harper as much in the at bat before. But the one to Realmuto totally changed the complexion of the inning. You get a strike through there. It's two outs. It's a runner at first base. The whole inning changed in the blink of an eye. And you still have Schwarber at first base as well if that check swing goes the other way. I'm all in for Murph. I almost got tossed from the booth.
So explain this to me, Jeff, because what has to be said? Because eventually Ricky goes out there, Ricky Weeks, goes out there to, okay, Murph, we got to get you. And then Murph leaves, And then Ricky gets into it with the umpires to the point where somebody had to come get him. I was scared that Ricky was going to have to be tossed. What has to happen when the guy who comes out to calm down the manager then gets fired out? What has to be said in that exchange?
There had to have been a miscommunication on something that was said between the home plate umpire and Ricky Weeks, because it felt like there was a confusion, because Ricky was, hey, I didn't say anything. I'm just trying to get him out of here. And tensions were a little high, and I'm sure they were still reacting to what Murph was talking about. So I'm sure there was just some miscommunication between the two of them, but I was a little nervous. Nestor Corridor went out there and had to pull Ricky Weeks aside, and I went, hey, well, if anybody's going to pull Ricky aside, it's going to be Nestor. Those are the two largest human beings the Brewers have. So those are the two guys that need to be first off the bus when you're going against another team. But those are the two guys that need to leave the field at that moment.
We've got Jeff Levering hanging out with us. He does it each and every week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, talking Brew Crew. All right, how should people feel about Jacob Mizorowski? Yesterday, he goes 4 1/3, gives up 6 hits, 3 runs. I'm just pulling up the box score here. 4 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. But I think people were excited for this idea of him being able to, you know, throw the electric, go up over 100, and it feels like it's a different version of Mizorowski. I've even seen a bunch of people saying, oh, we got to have him come out of the bullpen so we can use that velocity, so we can use that fastball out of the bullpen. What do you want people to think or go forward when it comes to Mizorowski?
So for me, he's still built up as a starter, and the Brewers need him as a starter, right? Their depth is slightly tested at this point. They do have some off days that are coming up, thankfully, in the month of September, 23 games to go. But I think for his development, it is in the Brewers' best interest to keep him as a starter. And the thing, too, with Miz is that there are those outings where he just loses it for a couple of batters, right? It had happened the first 3 appearances coming off of the injured list was really good his last time. 1 walk, 10 strikeouts against Arizona. And it felt like he had that going against the Phillies, a couple of bloop hits here and there. But it just felt like yesterday, that third time through the order, he was up and over 100 miles an hour a little bit more. He didn't necessarily do that in his last appearance against Arizona, only 7 pitches over 100 miles an hour. He was more on command. I think the opponent amped him up a little bit. Because he gets so lost at times and he's still working through that can scare you out of the bullpen, because if you're coming out of the bullpen, you got to throw strikes. You got to get outs, and you got to do it in a hurry. So for me, I think it's still better for Mizorowski to be in a starting capacity, because you still want to build him up. Because in the long term, I think he is a starter, and he's a really good and effective starter. The Brewers have seen that. Fans have seen that. This is baseball. It doesn't matter how hard you throw the ball. If you can't throw your other stuff for strikes, guys are going to hit your fastball. That's part of it. And he gave a couple of hits on a curveball, but nothing really hit hard.
Is that a big deal for the player to go from a starter to the bullpen?
I think it's the easier transition instead of going from the bullpen to a starter. Yeah, it's a lot easier to go from starter to a bullpen role. And you've seen the Brewers do that a lot. Corbin mm-hmm. Burns, Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta, going way back, right, to this crew from 17 and 18. Starters in the minor leagues come to the big leagues and they're bullpen guys. Much easier to go to the bullpen than it is to become a starter.
Well, speaking of the bullpen, Jeff, how concerned are you about the depth right now? I know they got a little bit of good news with McGill saying, you know, they're going to work him on a bullpen starting Thursday. So hopefully he's back sooner rather than later. But Shelby Miller apparently said he felt something pop in his elbow, which is why he had to leave. And he had really, over his last few outings, been coming into his own. And obviously the Brewers are going to be counting on him being a high leverage guy down the stretch and into the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, the Shelby Miller news is it breaks your heart. And you hope that it's not as bad as what he said. He said he felt something pop, and that's always concerning. So I'm sure he'll have imaging done today, and we'll see what happens with Shelby. But that's a big deal. That's a really, really big deal. I'm not super concerned about the bullpen. Again, you've just played 19 games in 18 days against really good competition, and you went 9-10. Okay, no big deal. The Brewers still won 21 games in the month of August. They have a 5.5-game lead over the Cubs right now. It's September 2nd. I think today's off day. The off days coming up in September is going to give that bullpen an opportunity to rest. I'm not super concerned. I do like the fact that Trevor McGill is going to throw a bullpen on Thursday. That's really, really good news for the Brewers. But my heart goes out to Shelby Miller. I've known this kid since he was young. I was in the Cardinals organization in the minor leagues when he was coming through as a first-round pick. I got to know him in 2011 when he was with us in Double A. And he's been through a lot. He's been through a lot, not just on the field, but off the field. And my heart goes out to Shelby.
Jeff Levering joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What do you make of the schedule, the way it shakes out? They got the series, obviously, with the Phillies, Pirates, Rangers. You mentioned the off days. They get a much-needed off day every week for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. So they got today, next week they got Thursday, the following they got Monday, and then another Thursday before the regular season wraps up. Cardinals are on there twice. They have been a shell of themselves. Angels, Padres, and they finish up with the Reds. How do you feel about the September schedule for this Brew Crew?
It's a grinder. I mean, going down to Texas, they're fighting for a playoff spot too. And what are they, a game and a half back of the last wild card spot as we start the day today? So that's a big deal. So they've got something to fight for. The Padres still have something to fight for. Division, a wild card, seeding. And the Reds, who knows what they're going to be fighting for at the end of the season, right? They're still kind of battling, and the Brewers are watching what the Reds are doing in terms of magic number. So that's a big deal too. The Cardinals always scare me, right? You just never know what's going on with the Cardinals, and they are not playing well. Nobody's going to ball games. It's a tough atmosphere. It's a tough atmosphere going to Pittsburgh over the weekend too, because you know that's a team that's in a tailspin, and they're already planning their vacations. They were planning their vacations in May, but it's a tough place to go play. This is where when you're Pat Murphy. Just like it was in July, just like it was the beginning part of August, even though you were running pretty darn hot, focus on today. Focus on what's going on in front of you today. Don't think about what's going on in 2 days or 3 days. You got to focus on what's going on right this very second and win this ball game tonight.
How soon before we see Hoskins?
Great question. His minor league rehab assignment ends on the 9th, so I would circle that date and figure out whether he's coming up or what that situation is going to be. You saw on August 31st there were some teams that released players so that they could be available to sign other places. Brewers did not do that with Rhys Hoskins, so if they end up releasing him, he is not going to be available to any team in a playoff capacity. So for me, I think the Brewers still have a need for Rhys Hoskins up at the big league level. He has so much playoff experience, mm-hmm. so much playing experience that bat can certainly help you going down the stretch.
So is there a chance they end up carrying three first basemen on a playoff roster? Because I think you still want certainly. Bowers as a left-handed option off the bench.
I think so. I think absolutely that's a possibility. You know, during the regular season, you want as much versatility as possible. You want as much depth as possible. But the way that Andrew Vaughn's swinging the bat these days, which has not been great for the last 2 weeks, he was a world beater for the first month, but for the last 2 weeks, he's kind of come back to earth. You hope that he figures it out because he was so good for that 6 week time span. So you got to have some production out of first base, and maybe that will be Rhys Hoskins at some point. But you got to get some production out of first base. And if it means carrying three catchers, then so be it. You can carry an extra player in the month of September. You get 28 guys. You got Joey Ortiz back, and who knows what might happen with the rest of the offense.
I assumed when you were counting first baseman, Gabe, you were not counting Andrew Monasterio, who we saw at first yesterday, late in
no,
the game.
I was not, no.
Prompting us to look up, when is the last time Monasterio played first base, which I think we nailed down was last year against the Dodgers. Is that right, Jeff?
But he's filled in at first base a few times late in games this year. So he's been out there.
Oh, all right.
He's played some left field. He's played some short. He's played some, he plays third. He's your old Swiss Army knife, has glove, will travel, big bag. It's great.
Big bag. Is his bag bigger than most of the guys' bag? Big bag?
He's got more gloves than most guys.
He's got all the equipment for all the positions. All right, Jeff, we're going to let you go. Good stuff. We really appreciate you. Brewers with an off day. There's a great Adam McAlvey. I think it's, you know, he puts out that bulletin that you can get if you subscribe to Adam McAlvey stuff. And he says that the last true off day for this Brewers team, where they didn't have to travel in the evening, was August 7th. True off day. For the Milwaukee Brewers. Just wild. I hope they enjoy the day. Hope you enjoy the day, sir. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for hanging out with us.
You got to talk to you next week, guys.
Love having Jeff Levering on, giving us the latest from the Brew Crew. And good stuff there on the Miz. Because I do see it a lot in the Carbless Talking text line and on the YouTube stream. People saying, when are they going to move him to the bullpen? When are they going to make him a bullpen arm instead of a starter? Sounds like Levering thinks not anytime
not
soon.
Gonna happen.
Yeah, and look, I think that makes sense, just trying to Because if you want to use him in the playoffs as a reliever, I would prefer not to have his first ever relief appearance come in the playoffs. So they would have to do that sooner rather than later. But like Jeff said, it doesn't seem like that's part of their thought process or planning for the final month.
Where would
of the
he
season,
be in the bullpen, Gabe? Where would they bring him out?
Sixth inning, sixth, seventh.
Long
know,
relief,
probably.
Right?
Long relief?
I wouldn't even say long relief. I think they just try to hopefully try to get him a clean inning in the middle part of the game.
Okay.
When I need to get somewhere on time and in style, I use Acucharan's Group. They're my trusted ride during my travels during the football season, and they are our preferred transportation for Green Bay game day. At Good Karma Brands, we rely on Acucharan's for traveling with our partners. They handle everything from corporate travel to conventions to private events and tailgates. They learn your preferences, they're always on time, and they make booking simple. Veteran-owned, available 24/7, delivering a first-class experience every single time. And guys, I know I mentioned this about this time of year. You're going to have dances coming up with your kiddos, okay? Maybe they're driving, maybe they're not, but Accutrans can handle the transportation for you. Grab them at your house, take them to dinner, take them to the dance, bring them home. No worries about making that travel on that evening. Concerts, weddings, corporate events, you name it, they'll get you there in style. Book your safe, reliable transportation at AccutransGroup.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in life, there's only one place to go. You already know what I'm going to say. Check out Dean Dean, the dancing machine, and the great team he's put together over at the Jewelry Center, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. It's what I did, and it's what I continue to do for all my jewelry needs, whether I'm looking for a new watch, need repairs, the Jewelry Center, the place to do it. But best place to shop for diamond engagement rings. They've got a great selection. If you have an idea, take a look online, shoptjc.com. If you don't, maybe go to her Pinterest page. Bring those ideas in, and the helpful team at the Jewelry Center always going to point you in the right direction. Whether it's a naturally mined diamond, a lab-grown diamond, the Jewelry Center has you covered. Check them out, Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington, or online, shoptjc.com.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's Power Rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night? Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
Okay, a little Power Rankings week one. CBS Sports. ESPN didn't have one. This one is, I'll just say it's interesting. I don't know if I agree with it, but it is
one,
interesting.
Can I ask one point?
Yes.
Can I ask one question to clarify? Did this come out before or after the Micah Parsons trade?
This came out after.
Okay.
After the trade. Okay? Interesting. Interesting. Okay, with that, give me 10.
What is? I'm trying to figure out what interesting
you'll
interesting
see,
means.
You'll see. I mean, I kind of understand it. I don't agree with it.
I'm trying to use it to formulate my...
I don't. I see their point, but I don't agree with it, essentially, is what I'm saying.
All right, number 10. I say this every week. The hardest for me are 6 through 10. I feel like I know the top 5 for the most part. But number 10, I'm going to go with the Bengals.
I'll say the 49ers.
The Broncos are 10. Jen, the Bengals were
okay.
11.
Ooh, okay.
They're basing it upon they made the playoffs last year. I just think Bo Mix takes a little bit of a step back. And that's a tough division because the Chargers are going to be better. The Chiefs are who they are. So, all right, 9.
Number 9. Washington.
Houston.
The San Francisco 49ers
are
number 9.
Oh, yes.
And they're saying that they were so beat up with injuries last year, that's why they finished so poorly. They said they will bounce back and win the West, which I think they do. Because Stafford's got a lot of questions with his health, and I think McCaffrey's coming back.
Apparently he's playing week one.
Yeah, I saw that.
Maybe he should get an epidural.
Or two.
He already did.
Probably had more than that.
Epidurals, those things are so overrated. Sorry, I just thought I'd throw that out there. My experience with them is they suck. Number eight.
My experiences with them is to get the job done.
Three times.
No, just the once.
Oh, just the once.
Okay.
Eight. How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? They're getting a lot of love this year. I feel like they're a top 10 team.
Okay, I went away from my team, so I'll stick with this one again. I'll say the Houston Texans.
The Washington Commanders are number eight.
I got to think Houston's not on the list. That'd be my guess once we're up to eight.
They're saying Daniels should have a better year, so shouldn't they be higher than eight?
Well, who would they replace?
They got McLaren.
I think they're a pretty volatile team. With
McLaren.
McLaren.
Is that it? What did I call him?
Yeah, it's McLaren. Oh. Just like the
nailed
car.
Nailed it. Yeah.
It's McLaren.
Yeah, McLaren's better.
They're volatile with all their veterans. They're very old.
Yeah.
So if they lose a few of those guys, it could be an issue.
Seven.
Buccaneers? I mean, they got to be in there somewhere.
Texans.
The Detroit Lions.
What?
Well, they're just basing it on... I mean, I see it. I don't agree with it, but they're saying replacing the two coordinators, they're going to take a slide back.
Yikes.
I don't see that one. I don't agree with that one. Sets.
Okay. I don't know if Gabe's going to guess Houston again.
Well, I mean... Well, Houston, they were a team that was in the final eight last year. Yeah, I would change course at this point.
I'm
going to
guess
the Lions.
Buccaneers, because I still think they're a top 10 team, and I don't think they're in the top five, so they have to be at six.
I'll say the Green Bay Packers.
Oh. Jen, you nailed it. The Buccaneers are six. They think Mayfield will push for an MVP season. That's why I think that's too high. All right, so what did you think of 6 through 10?
So I had Bucks, Lions, Commanders, 49ers, and
the
Broncos.
Lions I'm definitely putting higher.
Yeah, but who
the
are
Lions
you
I'm putting
the Bucks
higher.
I'm dropping down. Okay. Cuz their defense
very much
is still Washington. I mean, I guess they're fine. I expect
I
a slide back.
I think it's hard to go have multiple teams from the same division that high, because the road, once you're a wild card, even if you are one of the best teams, is just so hard. It's just so tough.
What's your take on the Broncos? I mean, great defense.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm not banking on their offense. Plus, I think the Chargers are interested. I think the Raiders are going to be better than that division, so I don't think they're going to be able to rack up as many wins. Like, the Broncos, to me, are a team that was in the playoffs that are going to miss it this year.
Yeah, I agree.
There's an interesting thing that happened here, if we can take a quick diversion. The Cowboys are ranked 12th. They raised six spots, and they're above teams like the Vikings, Texans, Chargers. Yes.
After losing Micah Parsons?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I don't know what happened there.
I don't want to knock
knows how to pick them.
The credibility of this list, but that's not a...
And then the Chargers
detail in their favor.
Chargers at 16, I think they'll be better.
But again, we all know who the top five teams are, so it's just a matter of where they're slotted. So, do you still think, Gabe, the Lions are a top five team?
I do.
Okay, so at some point you're going to have to tell me who you drop out then of these top five teams.
Well, because wasn't that when they did the rosters, the top rosters, they were like three?
Yes.
Yeah, their roster is really good.
Superstars and whatnot.
Yeah.
What do you got? Number
all right,
five?
Here we go. Five.
Okay. Five, I have the Chiefs.
I'll say the Packers are five.
The Baltimore Ravens are five.
What did I say about them?
It says talent, more talent. Now they just have to get it done in the playoffs.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah. I'm putting them higher.
Higher? Feels like you guys are putting
higher
a lot
or lower,
of teams
whatever the better one is.
Yeah, you're putting them higher, I get it, but at some point you're going to run out of slots.
Yeah, I know.
If you're putting the Lions higher, you're putting the Ravens higher.
Both the Lions and Ravens have made it farther than the Packers the last year in the playoffs.
This has got to all be Micah Parsons
related. Yes, four.
I got Packers at four.
They can't be any higher than four.
Packers are at four. I would put them six. I just, like, now the biggest question mark is offense. What's this offense going
to
look like?
All right, we opened up one slot for either the Ravens or the Lions,
yes,
who you wanted to move up into the top five.
Three.
Okay, I have the Chiefs now, since they weren't where I thought they were, at number three.
I will put the AO Buffalo Bills at three.
Chiefs are at three, which is fair, I think.
How can you have the Bills ahead of the Chiefs? If the Ravens are five because they
Bills
need to get it done in the playoffs,
one
the
of
Bills
these years.
Have never beaten the Chiefs. But if the reasoning for the Ravens at five is they have to win in the playoffs, how the hell are anyone ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC?
I think the Bills' defense is better. They added Bosa, so he's going to get a little bump there.
Yeah, in the six games he plays.
I think the Bills... Bills are better.
The Bills are the one that I would, by the way, drop out. I would have the Bills at six.
What? You're crazy. All right, one.
Well, it's got to be Bills, Eagles.
It is the Chicago Bears.
Well, that is an interesting list.
I told you, interesting. Eagles are one.
So is there another team, Gabe, that you would drop out of the top five in order to get the Lions?
Yeah, the Bills.
Okay, you'd move Bills to six. You'd move Lions to two? Yeah.
And you'd leave the Packers at four?
No, I'd go Bills. I'd keep the Packers at five, Lions four, Ravens three, Eagles two, Chiefs one.
Yes.
And you've been pretty strong in this belief that the Chiefs should be number one until somebody unseats them.
Yeah.
Why? They lost last year.
The Eagles are the root.
But their consistency of going to the AFC Championship game every year, like, I mean, how can you have them below any other team? It's certainly in the AFC, but in the NFC, it'll be interesting for the Eagles. But I think the Chiefs' consistency just has me putting them at number one.
So I talked about it last week. Who's what's the word I use, Josh? Qualify a contender? Who's a legit contender? Eagles, Bills, Chiefs, Packers, Ravens, Lions?
Yeah, the top six.
Okay, no Buccaneers, no Commanders, no 49ers. No. Yeah, I think.
No.
So those will be the six at the end of the year.
Those top six are, you know, put them in whatever order, I guess, but those top six are the ones I kind of are in that same grouping.
Okay.
So, I mean, it started out a little strange, but ultimately you ended up having the six teams that you guys agree are the top six teams. Their order is just a little bit wonky. Yep. Finding the right home is a journey, sometimes quick, sometimes patient, which should always be exciting. The We Sell Group at Keller Williams understands that. They're not just about closing deals. They're about building relationships and helping you find the right fit. It is so clear that their passion is people. We have loved working with Rob and Nick as we continue looking for a lake house for our family, trying to make some memories, right? Trying to have a place that we can go, that our kids can go, that their kids can go. And Nick and Rob have helped us tremendously in that journey. Whether you're ready to move right now, or you're starting to look, or you're thinking about selling, the We Sell Group is on the journey with you every step of the way. You can start your journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog, the corn dog for the
pierogies birthday. And borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
So good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. We turn to some funny places for support, don't we? Look, not everyone is a therapist. No matter how hard they try or want to help, not everyone is the one, but you can find your right match with BetterHelp. They've got quality therapists working according to a strict code of conduct. They're fully licensed in the United States. They do an initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. You got a quick questionnaire. It will help identify your needs and your preferences. And their 10-plus years of experience and the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means that they typically get it right the first time. But if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time. They've got more than 30,000 therapists. Look, for me, most recently, it was grief. When I lost my dad 3 years ago, I needed somebody who specialized in grief and who could help me figure out how that was affecting my life. But that might not be what you yourself are dealing with. The good news is BetterHelp will try to find you the best match. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/timeout. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. Uh, I was really hoping that I would remember what it was called. Joshy gave us an update,
though. A sprain.
Something joint sprained.
Yes,
but
we've been calling it facet. And I received a call from a chiropractor who's been in the practice for 40 years. I believe her name was Lynn. We appreciate the call. It is facet.
Facet.
And not facet. Oh. Yes.
So y'all have been saying it wrong. It's not just me.
And
what?
And now this is a little game of telephone here. She did say the type of injury sort of isn't really even an injury, and it's like undiagnosable. It's more of like where a discomfort is, and they're just trying to give an explanation of the mechanism.
How about that?
An injury? An injury?
They're saying there is something.
It hurts.
But they can't exactly diagnose
right.
it, so it's sort of like...
The way I took it is a facet joint injury.
So it's essentially a headache.
I don't know what that means.
Well, a headache, what hurts? I mean, what's the injury?
I don't...
What's a headache?
I mean, you can usually trace those, though.
No, you
had
can't.
Too many beers.
Dehydrated.
a lot of dehydration.
Your wife is nagging
no,
at you.
I think I nailed it.
Facet? That's facet. Really helpful, by the way. I don't think anybody's been saying facet. A facet joint sprain for Micah Parsons. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors Twitter poll. What is your level of concern with Micah Parsons' apparent back injury headed into week one against the Lions? 67% of respondents so far, guys. Yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is where we are as well.
I'm not.
That's where I'm at.
What's the middle one?
Oh, I'm stressed.
For the first game, yeah.
Okay.
Because he hasn't taken his first real shot of an offensive lineman.
But you're more stressed in that he just hasn't gone through camp.
Correct.
Not because of the injury.
Yeah, because like I said, you have to ramp up to getting hit.
Yeah.
And when you haven't been hit yet, that's... You're always, put it this way, you're always... Well, that's not true. All right, we can shut it down now.
No, go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
Well, I was going to say you're always more beat up at the beginning of the year, but that's just because you are not used to the banging yet, but that's a lie.
The
end of the year, you feel like crap. Yeah. So it's kind of, you feel like crap, and then you feel really good, and then you feel like crap.
And then that cycle
that
just
makes
continues
sense.
The rest of the season,
yes.
Doesn't it?
Oh, it makes sense.
And that's why you take Toradol.
Will you stop endorsing Toradol? My goodness.
Why? Do you need your liver?
You've said it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Huh?
I'm sure Wildy and Tausch will be talking about Micah Parsons. It does feel like this is not going to be an issue, and we will get to see Micah Parsons going after the quarterback, getting
Number
after
one.
It this weekend against the Detroit Lions. Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wildy and Tausch is next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.